Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. As you know, we're the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we have John Wayne on with us in a few minutes, but we're first going to cover something important, something that you guys have asked me about, communication. You've asked me questions about sat phones because it's a relatively new sponsor for us in the last few months. And you recall I interviewed the great John Moore, decorated war hero, Silver Star from Vietnam. And I asked him in an interview, I said, John, what was your scariest moment? He said, it's when we lost communication. He said, it wasn't being outnumbered. It wasn't not having air support. He said, when I could not communicate with my fellow troops. And I feel the same way. My greatest fear is... let's put it this way. The authorities decide we're resisting too much. They take down cell phones. They take down the internet. And my family's scattered throughout a city. And I'm thinking, how do we rally? How do we get them together? Well, there is a way to do it. And this is why the sat phones have appeal to me. But also, too, if you're driving through the mountains, cell phone doesn't get coverage. Sat phone almost always will. And in fact, I probably should take the qualifier out and say, it always will. And you won't ever be without support and help. And so I asked Chris Orr to come on, and he's an expert on sat phones. And you guys are asking me a lot of technical questions that I'm not qualified to answer. So I thought we'd bring Chris on and talk about the importance of communication. And given the DHS terrorist definition now that just came out last week, since about 200 million Americans are now defined as domestic terrorists, I think that tells you better be prepared. You better be prepared with food and water. You better be prepared with communication. So, Chris, with that lengthy introduction to kind of set the stage for this first part of our show today, I want to welcome you, and I appreciate you taking the time to come on and discuss satellite phones and, in general, the company that you represent.
Well, yeah, Dave, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here, and to be able to talk to your listeners. Satellite phones have been around for quite a while, since the late 90s. But when they first came out, they were pretty expensive. They was thousands of dollars for a phone and many dollars per minute. But things have changed, and we've got the price down substantially, even to the point now where we have some satellite phones that are free with activation, with monthly activation and airtime. So the number one reason for having a sat phone is, like you said, so you can always be in touch. I mean, there's a lot going on right now in this country and around the world that is interfering with cell phone service. You've got governments interfering. You've got all kinds of fires and natural disasters. But the satellite phone will keep working when your cell phone won't. So I think... a great time to be talking about this.
Yeah, that's interesting. You mentioned the fires, particularly the ones like in Northern California. And so let's say a fire takes out a cell phone tower. Well, you're not broadcasting any longer. But if you have a sat phone, you're unaffected by the things going on the surface of the planet. Am I right?
That's correct. There is no ground-based infrastructure that you need because the satellite phone, once you place a call, it sends that call directly to the satellite from the phone. And then the call will come back down to Earth, and you can make a call or receive a call from any other phone, whether it's a landline or a cell phone or another satellite phone anywhere on Earth.
That's such a great situation. Now, we're specifically talking about the Inmarsat iSat phone number 2, and this thing's got a lot of bells and whistles. But I'll tell you what appeals to me on here is I look at the specs here. You have the ability to communicate with several people at once in the middle of a crisis, don't you?
Yes, you do. You can do that via voice or via text message. Again, the only thing you need to do is be able to have access to the sky. People might have seen the show 24 with Kiefer Sutherland using a sat phone in a bunker 3 miles underground. Unfortunately, that doesn't work. as long as you have access to the sky, you'll be okay.
So I would assume you can't take it to the depth of the oceans either and expect it to work.
No, not if you're on the bottom of the ocean floor. You might have a little trouble connecting. That said, we do also do installations. So we could install an antenna on top of your office building, We can put an antenna on your private plane if you're lucky enough to have one, or on your yacht. So we can keep you connected no matter what you're doing on the surface of the earth or on the ocean.
That's just amazing. So you could be on a yacht out in the middle of the ocean where there's no cell phone service, but you could still be connected to call for help.
Exactly. And of course, people who spend a lot of time on boats will already understand, the requirement for emergency communication. Some of them use radios and what have you, but they have limited scope. The sat phone, literally the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean, any ocean, you will be able to get a call through and receive a call or send or receive text messages.
Let's talk about the text message feature for a second. That really fascinates me. How does this work? Is it like a cell phone? And how many people can you text? And do they have to have a satellite phone? Or could you connect to a landline? Or not landline, but could you connect to a cell phone and send a text? How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the sat phones are not, they're not like an iPhone or an Android phone in their capabilities. They're more like, the capabilities and the functions are similar to an early cell phone. So we're not talking about internet access and stuff like that. But look, when you need raw communication, these phones won't let you down. And you can send or receive a text to any other cell phone across the planet. You can send multiple texts, you can send texts to multiple people. This provides a life-saving, critical feature, these things have saved a lot of lives. I'll tell you, our brave U.S. military also relies on these things when they're in the middle of the sandbox out there in the Middle East. This is the only way that they're communicating. So these things are used by people who really need them. But of course, like you said, I'm here in Colorado, and hiking and skiing and stuff is very popular. But as soon as you get off the beaten track, your cell phone bars go to zero, as you know. And so just on a daily basis, this is a life insurance policy. The other interesting thing about the iSat phone too is, whilst it cannot be tracked, unlike your cell phone, if you need to receive, if you need to send an emergency message, you can, with the press of one button on the top of the phone, you hit that button and it will send a message to the emergency services, letting them know that you need help so they can get a medevac out to you or whatever is needed.
Yeah, how would they find your location? You'd have to have some kind of voice communication since it can't be tracked, am I right?
Well, the emergency red button overrides the non-tracking feature, and it will transmit your exact location. But that only happens when you trigger it. Outside of that, they may be able to get within 50 or 100 square miles of figuring out where you might be, but that's as close as they're going to get. So unlike your cell phone, where they can track you down to a couple of square feet, right? Unfortunately. The red button will send out your exact coordinates, and that will go direct to the emergency services. But that's something only happens when you trigger it. Outside of that, you are, for all intents and purposes, at an undisclosed location.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. I'm sure you've heard of this too, where the Biden administration, who was it? Oh, it was Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, said that they're planning on going into your cell phone and blocking text messages they feel are inappropriate. Do you recall that press conference a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I did hear something about that, and I can tell you that a decision that was made by the FCC in 2018, in late 2018, changed the definition of text messages from a communication service to an information service.
Oh.
And what that effectively did was allow the cell phone companies to reject, block, or otherwise not deliver text messages that contain content which they feel is not either wanted or appropriate.
Oh, jeez. This is incredible. So the satellite phone would be immune from this?
It has been immune from this, and we believe it will continue to be, because the satellite phone networks are used by the federal government, and I don't think they want anyone blocking their own messages. So I think that's the biggest insurance policy against this kind of censorship, is the fact that this is what the powers that be use. So whilst it may not be legally impossible, I think practically it is the most reliable form of free speech communication that is left, and that probably the only one.
Yeah, and you know they'll be working on it, but hopefully it'll be a ways off. So the only way to really stop the satellite phone is to take down the satellite.
Yeah, I mean, as long as, and you know, Inmarsat has a more powerful type of satellite than Iridium, so they only have four of them, but Iridium has 66 satellites or 70 satellites from what we understand at the moment, and so you know that would be quite an undertaking. But look, if these networks go down, then the military and the government can't yeah. communicate. So I think if that happens, then we have much bigger problems.
Yeah, but they have an interest in keeping satellites from being trackable, because if we have special forces behind enemy lines with these satellite phones, it's in the government's best interest not to be able to track them. For the protection of the troops.
Absolutely.
Because if we could track them, then the enemy could track them. I have one last question very quickly here. How big are they? Cell phones fit into my pocket. How big are the satellite phones?
They're a little bigger than, you know, they're a little thicker than an iPhone, but they're about the same size. Otherwise,
okay.
They do have an antenna, of course. But like, now these are highly portable, and they have the battery on the iSat phone, too, is like 80 hours of standby,
wow.
8 hours talk time. We have solar panels, little solar panels that can recharge them if you don't have power. We
Incredible.
Have Faraday bags that protect them from the EMP attack. So,
okay.
Yeah, you've got everything you need here. And it's
Chris,
an
we're
essential
just,
part of it.
And I'm sorry to cut in, but we're just about out of time here. So I want to give out the number here that I have in front of me. It's 855-980-5830. Folks, listen to me. You need to take care of your communications needs. 855-980-5830. Chris, thanks so much for taking time to come out and talk about this in areas that I don't have great expertise in. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, sir.
Stay
Thank
tuned,
you.
Ladies and gentlemen, for John Wayne. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us. Great, great information on the utility of sat phones in a crisis. And I guarantee you, they're not using cell phones. On these flights that are departing from Kabul, they're using sat phones, guarantee you. But anyway, our thanks to Chris for coming on and really valuable information. We have a special guest, and we haven't heard from John for a while, but life circumstances sometimes appear and things happen, and you got to take care of business, and he's back in the fold now. It's really good to have him back on the show, and we're going to talk about a number of important and critical issues, and I do mean important and critical issues, but I want to just make an all call out to people right now very quickly. Every time I broadcast for a while, I'm going to call for this. I have, if you're up on thecommonsenseshow.com, you've seen all the stuff I've written about local officials here that are in communist Chinese hands, I've detailed people from the Board of Supervisors in Maricopa County, to the Maricopa County Sheriff, to the Governor, on and on and on it goes, and I guarantee you, you have the same thing in your communities. And we're seeing betrayals in Yavapai County, we're seeing betrayals in Mojave County in Arizona, and I'm here, I see it, I talk to the people who are local. I'm telling you folks, it's happening in your state, particularly if you were a swing state during the election. So I'm going to give you two things to do, and I'll help you if you don't know about corporations and, Dave, I never heard of this group, who is this group, and chances are, if you have never heard of them, not a household name, and they've made a sizable donation, you're dealing with the Chinese or George Soros Shell Corporation, which is the same as China. But first of all, do a Freedom of Information Act on all the campaign donations for your local officials, county supervisors, city council, mayor, so forth. Okay, because I guarantee you, you're going to find probably about a quarter of them are compromised, at least. And then what you need to do is then find financial disclosures for these people. And they're usually online, and they have to be online before they run. And I have found some. I have found conflicts of interest in the Arizona State Senate with someone who's very prominent in the recounting of the votes, so to speak. And I've called on her publicly to explain this concern and how it could be leveraged against her, and she's ignored my claims, and I'm talking about Karen Fan. And maybe there's a reasonable explanation, but folks, this is stuff that you're going to find. And if we're going to take back our government, we need to go after these officials. And when you find them, when you find they're in bed with the communists, you need to spread the word, and hopefully we can mount some recall efforts around the country. So I'm going to be doing that every time I have a broadcast now, is reminding people to do this. And if you need help deciphering the corporations, you know how to get a hold of me. Well, anyway, our guest is John Wayne, and we're going to be talking about a really serious warning that he received. He shared this with me last night, and I was like, holy cow, Batman, we got to talk about this. And then, of course, no discussion would be complete today without getting into the debacle, the shame, the dishonor that's Afghanistan. John, welcome back to the show. I'm glad you could join us, and glad to hear things are looking up. And but that warning you got, buddy, first of all, there was a personal threat in there.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's a personal threat. I think it's just what it was sent to the person that sent it to me.
Oh, that was just a personal threat to him?
Well, no, I just think for an average, for anybody that's within any form of movement within the country that may be militia-based.
You know, do you mind if I read this?
Oh, yeah, feel more than welcome, yeah, absolutely.
Because I want to tell you why I think this is a threat. And listen, I used to have this real macho attitude, and you can't threaten me, and I would tend to ignore it. Here we go. I'm scrolling it up because the print is so small on my phone. All right, here we go. John to me, just had this sent to me. Spook warns of EMP, false flag for World War III and wiping out militias. You are being watched. You are not safe. So someone's being threatened here, John. Either the person that got this and passed it on to you or you. Operation Silver Warthog is in its infancy stages. And you get into the nuclear weapons in Hawaii and how this is related. So let's pick it up right there. This is an incredible story.
Yes, it says, you know, the nuclear weapons in Hawaii were removed in the 1990s as part of the START 1 treaty signed in 1991. And lo and behold, who was president during that time? That would have been Bill Clinton.
Yes.
It says, but not really. The nuclear weapons were not taken off of the Hawaiian mainland. It says OSW, which is that Operation Silver Warthog. It says that it's in its infancy stages, and it will start with a secret nuclear missile fired from Hawaii. It will be detonated at an extreme high altitude, causing a nationwide EMP or HEMP. This detonation will coincide with a global A-10 exercise, false premise for Operation Silver Warthog, and then the real operation will start. It says the EMP will serve as a cover when the government disables all surface-to-air defenses to enable the OSW. As one of the only non-fly-by-wire aircraft in the military inventory, the A-10s in the air will be unaffected by the high EMP. Their electronics and their guidance, communications, and navigation will be protected with their onboard EMP protection system, which, you know, they are nuclear-hardened. It says fully loaded A-10s will simultaneously target and destroy right-wing extremist training camps through the U.S., which are under current surveillance. OSW will last from start to finish 2.25 hours, leaving little time to coordinate reactions on the ground. Operation Noble Eagle 1, and I don't know, I need to look that up. I looked up this other one. I couldn't find any information on this operation, obviously, if it can be not out in the open. But it says Operation Noble Eagle 1 will be suspended during this time under the false premise of the HEMP along with surface-to-air missiles. Well, I'm assuming Noble Eagle 1 would be Air Force 1 is what I'm assuming. That would be my assumptions. When the dust is settled, the attack will be blamed on a China-North Korea coalition. The missile will be blamed on North Korea and the ground strikes on China. This false narrative will be easily digestible, as since the current administration took over, China and North Korea aggression has been at an all-time high. Additionally, the ground strikes will be sold as an attack on American soil from these adversaries. They will use their dissenting opinion elimination ops as an excuse to start a conflict in Asia to gain their resources. Be careful out there. So, I don't think it was any warning directed towards me at all. I don't feel that. You know, I don't feel it guttural either. But the thing is I find it interesting how we had these drills up there in Michigan over the past month, or, you know, yeah, I think we went towards the end of last month, beginning of this month, of A-10s taking off from highways for the first time in the history of this country. You know, I mean, we know that the infrastructure is built for such things, for certain long stretches of highway or interstate to be used as landing strips. But Michigan, I found that really interesting, because what's the main, one of the main focuses of what they're doing in Michigan, especially Dearborn, Detroit, and these other places, these are absolute Islamic jihadist hotbeds. You know, and then I think that kind of brings us on over into what's taking place in Afghanistan as well.
Yeah, I think your judgment on this is good. The warning does disturb me, though. I think the warning is clearly either geared towards the person who gave this to you or to you. My guess would be it's for the former, the person who gave it to you. Do you know the person who gave this warning to you?
Yeah, and I can't disclose that, but I do know that he has been in contact with, worked within the agencies before. So we'll kind of leave it at that. Geospatial satellite data and things like that.
Okay, so this person has the wherewithal to be able to give you information.
Yes.
I don't know. Federal law enforcement agent that's high up in one of the alphabets.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. I don't know. I haven't heard anything else about this, but we do know that, you know, look at Jade Helm 15 in 2015 and the massive reallocation of men and materiel. A lot of that was especially down south to the southern border. But, you know, make no mistake about it, there's a lot of stuff going on with the northern border here in the United States, along with Canada. You know, it's still shut down and you can't enter Canada unless you've had their test serum, the stabs, what I've called it. And
the stabs. I like that. We've gone from jab to stab.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I found that interesting, too. I mean, even with just that word, even the mainstream media is starting to use it because they think it's trendy, I believe. They think it's, it's going to get more people into the euthanasia booths to get this thing stuck in their arm. But, you know, all of this, I mean, everything's tied together with all this taking place. Now, I'm going to propose the question to you. Do you think the situation with Afghanistan and the pullout on that was set up and made to look in such a way to try and totally disavow the current, I hate to even say it, but administration?
You mean in terms of Biden?
Well, you know, I mean, maybe white hats, if we want to kind of use that terminology, Biden and this.
Okay. Sabotage the operation with false intel, so Biden has to come out and say this happened a lot sooner than we thought.
Either that, or just outright make a complete, just utter joke of him. I mean, I'll tell you, I could imagine there's a lot of men and women around this country that are pretty upset. You know, especially the Gold Star families. That have lost a loved one, of course.
I'm upset for them. It's a good question, John. I'm not sure that I have a definitive answer at this point. I will tell you what I do know, and this may color my response once I think through the possibility of sabotage from the inside against Biden. They're not white hats. I'll tell you this. I have a reaction before I tell you the story. They're not white hats because right now I know for a fact contractors are having a hard time getting out of Kabul. American contractors. They will be beheaded if they're caught.
Right. And, you know, real quick, if I could, and they're ushering all the people to the airport, a nice big open area, if you get what I'm saying, you know. The Taliban was said, hey, you know, we're not going to stop. We're not going to hurt anybody. We're not going to do anything, but we'll make sure you make safe passage to the airport. Well, you may make safe passage to the airport, but my guess is just as good as anybody else is. You make it to the airport, you're not making it from the airport alive.
Well, what are you thinking?
Well, I think they're going to round up anybody that figured they'd try to flee the country and just hose them down. You know, they've got all the munitions now. I mean, my goodness, if you haven't seen, I'm pretty sure you have. I'm pretty sure you've seen the images of the caches of weapons and trucks and up-armored vehicles that have literally just fell into the hand of the bad guy, if that's what we can term them to be.
I'm holding your question out about the sabotage just for a second. I want to give you a piece of information that I'm pretty confident is true.
Okay.
Soldier is part of a withdrawal operation from a base, which in part includes the destruction of weapon systems, intelligence systems, and so forth. Mm-hmm. And while they're engaged in this, they come under heavy, heavy attack from ground forces and two helicopters that are Chinese in origin. And they have to call in airstrikes from literally a few hundred miles away. And there were some air resources in the area, but not enough to repel the attack by themselves. So they bring in overwhelming support. They smash these people. The base was threatened. And I'm not going to reveal the base because I promised I wouldn't, and maintaining, you know, security of the person's identity right. is critical. So in the aftermath of the battle, this person was part of the operation that went out to do intel on the bodies near the base. What kind of weaponry they have and so forth. Mm-hmm. And what they found with weaponry wasn't surprising. They found Chinese and American weapons. So we know the Chinese are supporting and supplying the Taliban. That's no secret. Mm-hmm. But what they also found were Chinese nationals in Taliban garb.
You know, I don't doubt it. I mean, one of the things is either we've handed China, either we've handed China Afghanistan, or the Chinese came in and said, hey, they routed us and they pushed us on out. You know, I don't know. It's one or the other is what I'm believing.
Well, the Chinese, this is what I asked, my federal LEO mm-hmm. that I talk to a lot. I asked him, he's a former contractor, been in country in Afghanistan, former military as well. And I said, tell me what you think. Are these Chinese that are serving as combat advisors like what we had prior to our official involvement in Vietnam? Or are they actually part of a fighting unit and they've interspersed Chinese to improve unit effectiveness? And his answer, he didn't hesitate. He said, both.
Yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely. You know, and I mean, it makes me think of this too, Dave. I mean, not only Vietnam, but the Korean War. You know, Chinese were just flooding in fighting in the Korean War. And like you said, Vietnam as well. You know, China's a big thorn in the side of any world power, even the Russians and especially the United States. And I mean, look at this country. You know, the one thing about all this, you know, all this is really gaining steam and picking up from the past year and a half of all this chicanery with this COVID-19 thing. But the one thing that I did see when all that began to happen, and then it began to be blamed on China, and then the new year, the Chinese New Year, well, by goodness, we can't shut that down. But the military, gauging the military's response, they were all dressed in MOP level 4 gear. That means that the military is not playing around, and they had a serious idea of it being a biological weapon and or attack. You know, but, you know, back to Afghanistan, it really burns me. You know, it made me think of Pat Tillman. And anybody out there that doesn't remember or know who Pat Tillman
is, I know the story. Yeah, Arizona boy.
You know, football player, went over there to serve the country and found out that the whole reason we were there is because we were guarding poppy fields. Well, you know, I mean, that's sad in its own right. That's not why we were there. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a big mess. And, well, all lo and behold, who's supposed to answer for it? Well, they're in hiding. Kamala Harris said, I don't want no part of that S, you know, excrement, you know, Scheitzen. Yeah, maybe we can use it in German. Maybe that'll work a little bit better. But Kamala Harris says, I don't want no part of that. I didn't have anything to do with that. Joe Biden sitting around a table. You know, I mean, no, these people are in hiding. They know that they've messed up. They've messed up big.
Yeah, I'm hearing that they're actually talking 25th Amendment. And this is why Harris is keeping her distance from Biden.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have heard. Well, now, I don't listen. Talking about it's not the same as doing it.
Right.
And I think it's premature for what they wanted to do. But you have to understand, in critical race theory with school boards, and they're being bought off by the Chinese and by radicals on the left. The soccer moms have awakened, and they're the ones that voted against Trump in big numbers, and they're figuring things out. And now you've got the country with all eyes on Afghanistan and the failure of leadership. And once you start putting eyes on the president and you start asking questions, other things start to come into view. I've often said there's many ways into understanding the house of the New World Order. You can come in through the window, the front door, the back door, the chimney. And this is opening up entrances, Afghanistan is, into the knowledge of how globalism and far leftism works. And this is the issue that's bringing real attention to the table. And CNN is really hurting the Biden administration. They're praising the Taliban's peaceful takeover.
Mm-hmm. And it's quite bizarre, the woman said. I'm pretty sure you've seen that clip. I mean, and the thing is, I don't believe CNN's going to be hanging around over there in Afghanistan after the Taliban took over. I really don't think they're going to be out walking the streets and doing a news broadcast. It seems just as bad as when they were saying, well, you know, we're here in Kuwait and we're expecting the Scud missiles to be fired from Iraq here any minute. Okay, there's the sirens, boys. Put on the masks. Put on your helmets. And they're literally standing in Atlanta, Georgia, on top of the CNN broadcasting station. You know?
Yeah, well, never underestimate their ability to fabricate an existing story. Back to your question about the sabotage. You got me off guard there with that. I think it's an excellent point. I don't think it's the case. Because if it is the case, I wouldn't call these people white hats. With the threat of stranding American contractors and close allies of our government. Close allies. I don't mean translators. I mean close allies. Those aren't white hats that would do that.
Well, it makes me kind of think of Benghazi. You know, in 2011, Hillary Clinton's big debacle and the murdering of Ambassador Stevens. You know, some of the people that were there and didn't get out in time or didn't get the warning to get out, you know, are they playing on the wrong side of the fence and it was just a convenient way to get rid of people? You know, that, and you're right. I mean, I'm pitching questions and kind of just feeling everything out too, because I'm just looking at how this is unfolding. It just makes me just beg to ask that question, you know, were some people set up to fall in that country?
I would more believe Biden's people set him up to excuse for a 25th Amendment and a transfer of power to Harris.
Well,
I would believe that a lot earlier than I would believe good guys are doing this, because good guys wouldn't do something with the fallout consequences being what they are.
Right.
Do you understand that when Fox News begins to interview family members of Americans who are stranded to an unknown fate, do you know how this is going to look for this administration?
Ooh, not good. Not good at all. You know, I mean, this is, you know, I mean, this has no semblance on, you know, Saigon, any other pullouts that we've ever done from any other foreign nations. This was totally, utterly disastrous. You know, I find it hard to believe that it could be as what it is, unless there's some kind of a form of orchestration. You know, everybody got the call. Well, I mean, don't get me wrong, a bunch of helicopters buzzing in the air over an area that doesn't normally have a whole heck of a lot of air traffic would raise a lot of suspicion. But it just seems to me that everybody got the call all at once, kind of like the southern border thing, right? You know, okay, yeah, there have been people coming here and there, you know, for over the years. But all of a sudden, just one day, everybody got the call. Hey, come on up. And it just kind of seems that same thing with Kabul, Afghanistan, with the Hamid Karzai Airport. Or I believe that's the name of the place.
Yeah, you're giving me a lot to think about here. That's a really interesting point. I'm going to actually take what you've said here to some of my colleagues.
Right,
and actually,
yeah,
some of my military strategists. I think it's a point worthy of considering, John. My inclination is to not think it's that clean cut of a white hat movement, but I do think Biden may have been set up, now that I look at this more objectively. Here's what the country thinks. You're either so senile that you didn't see it coming, or you're so stupid you don't know how to lead, or you sabotage the people of Afghanistan on purpose. These are the three things I'm hearing the most. And I'm going to say none of the above from Biden. But it doesn't mean he wasn't put in that position.
Right. You know, and then you look at that shadowy company that's been running his cabinet ever since his I don't even know if I can say it. It's not even an election. But nonetheless, you know, West exec, where all these people that are within his cabinet, I think it's like 25 plus members, are, you know, calling the shots. You know, we do have a deep state government running the country. You know, Biden was just the stooge to put up there to play the puppet for the game. But, you know, but you're right. Either he's complicit or he's too stupid, or, you know, he just... He's completely in the total utter dark about anything that's going on, which, I mean, look how the man, you know, in his faculties. I wipe my butt. I can't believe that. Can you believe a president would say that? You know, walking
one that's as far gone as he is. Yes, I do believe it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, it's just a shame to see this country being not only usurped from within, but sold from without, and then foreign nationals being flooded in to take the place of any average citizen. You know, this is the destruction of the country. And to sit idly by is, you know, one thing, but to watch it happen in such an aspect to where, I mean, what do we do? You know, I mean, that one of them C-17 Globemasters that was flown out of Kabul there was loaded with 800 people. That's well over half, well over, I mean, its capacity limit. You know, I'm surprised the dang thing was even able to make it up off the ground. But 800 people, and all the people on these were military-aged fighting men. Thank God they didn't just fly them straight from there over to here, and they landed, I think, somewhere over there in Saudi Arabia, I believe. But, you know, I mean, this is, it just stinks to high heaven. And then you have to throw in there the aspect of Birkdal, that traitor that literally walked away from his military unit there in Afghanistan, and then Obama traded a high-level Taliban figure from Guantanamo Bay for his release. And they're saying that that man is the one that put this whole plan into action to take this country back. You know,
interesting points. Hey, sit tight just for a second here. We've got to take care of some business. We're overdue for a break. And ladies and gentlemen, in these dire, dire times with CDC documents coming out talking about real FEMA camps, real relocations from your home, that it's not voluntary. That's CDC, folks. Go to cdc.org. It's there. Published all over the net. Don't you think it's time you get outside the system? One of the ways they'll extract you is when you come and get help, food, water, whatever. Be independent with the food. And listen, now's the time, because we're headed for tremendous food shortages here. The Port of L.A. is saying that the supply chain is totally broken. China's in lockdown. On and on and on. Okay, well, you've got the warnings. You got all the warnings you need. And hyperinflation looms, and when hyperinflation hits, you're not going to be ordering anything. So please consider the narrow time frame that we're entering. Go to preparewithdave.com for 25-year shelf life, 2,000 calories, restaurant quality, and lots of diversity in the food choice so you don't get sick of eating it. And they're offering a 25% discount. Under certain conditions, that's explained very clearly on the website, preparewithdave.com. Additionally, ladies and gentlemen, my biggest fear is losing communication. In fact, when I interviewed the great John Moore, and I do mean that sincerely, Vietnam War hero, Green Beret, I asked him, said, John, what was your scariest moment in Vietnam? And he said, when we lost communication. Cell phones going down. Seriously, internet's going down. They'll take out the command and control of any resistance, and that would be the people. And what we have left, well, if you have a sat phone, you're okay. Each member of your family needs a sat phone. You go, it's too expensive. Well, no, it really isn't. I pay 1/4 the cost of my cell phone bill for my sat phone. Ladies and gentlemen, don't mess around with this. You need communication. Call them today. Tell them I told you to call. The number, 855-980-5830. That's 855-980-5830. And then finally, we'll come out the other side of the economic collapse with a $6 trillion that's going to bust the bank here and send our dollar spiraling out of control. Well, if you are with Noble Gold, you've already made the adjustments to survive, both your IRA, your 401k. They have investment programs, and they're the most shall I say, passive, laid-back group I've ever worked with. I went from being an advertiser to a customer, and I had to say, okay, I like this. Can we finish the deal? Oh, yes, Mr. Hodges, be glad to. They're trained not to push the deal. They're trained to make you push the deal. That's why I love these guys, and they know they're good at what they do. They are very good. Noble Gold can help you protect your assets. And if you have assets to protect, you need to call them. 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. Tell them Dave Hodges of The Common Sense Show told you to call. Back with John Wayne, and we are talking about all things Afghanistan, and a little bit with the EMP could be coming here with the warning we read at the top of the show. And I certainly hope they're not threatening John, but boy, when I read that, I go, I don't know. It's kind of bad stuff. But anyway, John, let me pose this question to you here. We know for a fact, it's been noticed, that Harris is refusing to stand alongside Biden. She's avoiding him like the plague. And when you combine that with the rumors I'm hearing about could the 25th Amendment be in play, you know, hey, she could be the Brutus that comes up from behind and stabs him in the back.
No, well, I mean, I think it's already, isn't it evident that, you know, some of these, the presidential campaign and all these, you know, different debates and this and that, she has already before, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me in the least, but by goodness, there's no way that woman could ever see the presidential Oval Office and the rights of being the president of the United States of this country. There's just too much dirt.
But she's hated her own, the people in her own office of the vice president hate her.
Right. You know,
they can't stand her.
And it's really something else to see this Department of Homeland Security directive come out there the other day saying that anybody that speaks against the election, speaks against COVID-19, yeah, says that Donald Trump could be reinstated, that wants to celebrate religious holidays, is a domestic terrorist. You know, I mean, that is ridiculous. You know, Dave, look, the last thing that I want to see happen within this country is any kind of an internal struggle and strife where massive amounts of bloodshed is spilled. No, this country does not need to see anything like that compared to what, you know, I mean, it would be completely pale in comparison to what happened in 1860s with the Civil War. But anything to that extent, this country, I don't feel, would ever walk back from that. You know, and I just wanted to add this here. You know, I just tried to find some of my broadcasts on a site, and they're usually carrying pretty, you know, heavy material anyways with the stuff that they post on there. And I got to try to click onto this and listen to it and see which broadcast it was that I'd done, and I couldn't do it. And I said, well, why can't I do it? Well, it said I was inciting hate. I'm not inciting hate, Dave. No. You know, these people are scared to death because they have messed up and they have not been able to hold the wool over the American people's eyes. Like I said, look, the last thing I want is any kind of violence because violence begets violence. And that's a fact. You know, so these people that are censoring my material, that's why I don't have anything on any of my broadcasts generally or aired anywhere else except for on our station because of this insanity. Like I said, the last thing I want is any form of hate. And to be labeled that I'm inciting hate, that is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I have to tell you, I disagree with you on one point here, my friend. It's okay to hate certain things.
Well, yes,
I absolutely hate certain things. I hate the fact that our election was stolen, says the domestic terrorist. I hate the fact that we have criminals sitting in the White House that are traitors. Traitors to communist China, traitors to Ukraine. I hate the fact that the son of the president, so-called president, is able to gallivant around the country flaunting the law for things that would put you and I in prison for the rest of our lives. I hate the fact that we have the left trying to produce the Hitler Youth movement in our schools. I could go on, but I do hate those things.
Yes, and I concur. I hate all of them things, too.
Because it's okay to hate, though. It's all right. So when they say, yeah, but you're promoting hate, damn right.
Well, you know, and it's to the point where anybody that calls them out for what they're doing that's nefarious and, you know, ill-gotten, well, by goodness, put that back on the person that called you that, is the way they are. You know, I mean, look at all the incitement of hate that they've made. Look at the incitement of hate that Barack Hussein Obama created, especially in Ferguson, Missouri, a few years back. You know, and it's continued to fester even up to this point now, where he's got his marching armies in the streets of Black Lives Matter and the Antifa goons and thugs. You know, I mean, this is, like I said, this country, if it doesn't get its faculties together, this country will cease to exist. And by goodness, I don't want to see that, because this is one of the greatest countries in the world.
Not one. It is the only great country in the world.
Well, absolutely, yes. I mean, if you look at Europe and everything else going on everywhere else, yeah, you are right. I'm sorry I misspoke on that. You know, look at what's taking place.
Well,
in
I know
Australia.
You think that. Listen, I've talked to you enough. I know you think that. But I have to tell you, I have... here's another thing I hate. I hate anyone who's disloyal to America. I hate the fact that we had the women's soccer team go to Tokyo, the Wokio Olympics, and make asses of themselves. Megan Rapinoe, she should be deported. How dare you represent our country and bring such disrespect? I'm glad they did not win the gold medal.
Well, yeah, and that's fair game, you know, because look, these people that don't want to support this country that stands for a constitutional republic and the freedoms that we enjoy, and the men and women that have served and lost their lives in absolutely illicit gain wars. You know, I mean, Dave, look, $2.2 trillion in Afghanistan is what they're saying. That's what they're saying.
I know.
I know the figures are probably way higher. But who is it that stood to sit back and make so much money? Well, let's look here. Let's think. Dick Cheney, Halliburton, you know, the military industrial complex, Raytheon, Lockheed Martin. I mean, you name it. All of these have literally made money hand over fist over death, destruction, and mayhem. You know, I said something the other day. I said, you know, one day this planet will be as barren as Mars, and all the inhabitants that had ever lived on it, all they did was war. And I quoted that. That's my quote. And by goodness, I think that's going to be the fact of the matter, you know.
I hope you're not right. You just sent chills up and down my spine on that, because I think that the truth can hit really hard, and I think that's a real possibility. I mean, there was at one time life on Mars. All the signs are there. But what happened? Well, probably what we're doing to ourselves. The Hopis. And I know a lot about the Hopis, because I had a Hopi student whose grandfather was an elder. And they told me the times we're entering into were not good. They called this the fifth and final world. That mankind has risen up four times before and had to rebuild after they were knocked down. And now we're entering the fifth episode of this.
Yep.
And I think there's a lot to be said for that. And the thing is, you know, it's funny. I fell asleep watching a YouTube thing, and I woke up this morning, it was still on, but it had flipped to George Carlin. And he said something that I have said before, and I thought, George, we're people of like men, but I won't say the seven dirtiest words you can't say on TV. Because you also can't say him on radio. The FCC would not like that. But anyway, George Carlin was saying, stop blaming the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
They live among us. Their kids go to school with our kids. They are us. We are them. They are what we tolerate. And I thought, oh, George, I've said that before. And he said this, I went and I looked up the date. He said this 13 years ago before his death.
Yeah, you know, and he was right about so many things. And everybody sat back because it was a comedy routine. But hey, man, ain't nobody laughing now about everything, are they? Nope.
No, in fact, actually, I watched more and his real thing. Remember the one he did was, there's a club that owns you. You own nothing. They own you. And you ain't in the club. In fact, they're using that blanking club to hit you over the blanking head. And I'm listening to him go through this. He goes, none of you should believe in the American dream. Why? Because you have to be asleep to believe it.
That's right. And you know who just reuttered that in kind of a different form of dialogue? Klaus Schwab. You know?
Oh, yeah. Tell the audience what he said.
Well, you know, you will own nothing, and you will be happy to own nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and amongst many other things, you know, I mean, that, you know, these people are Dr. Evil in the flesh. I mean, the Kissingers, the Soroses, the Klaus Schwabs of the world, the Bill Gates, the Anthony Faucis. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on and on. But the thing is, I think who people need to blame, they need to blame the constituencies of their own municipalities. And not only that, down to the actual citizenry, because the citizenry has set back and allotted this to happen. If people would have stood up and said, hey, we're not having this, we're not doing this. I mean, if we knew about it to the extent for which we know now, we wouldn't have allowed it to happen. But by goodness, we've allowed it to happen, and this is where we're at for them ignorances. You know, I mean, it's a sad thing to say, but, you know, I don't want to see this country pass away, no. You know, it was said that George Washington had a vision in Valley Forge. You know, the Continental Army was freezing to death. They were literally boiling shoe leather to eat shoe leather for sustenance. You know, their feet were freezing, you know, solid. And you know, he had this vision, and an angel appeared to him, or a being of light, whichever, and said, there will be three great perils that will face this nation. The first peril was the Revolutionary War. The second peril was the Civil War. And by goodness, Dave, if it's not right now, I'm no other time's better than now that this third peril is upon this country.
I agree. I would be shocked if it wasn't now. I think that's a very astute observation. Hey, out there in the audience here, you heard the provocative question that John posed. Was Biden sabotaged? And if so, by whom? Excuse me. And I'll give you one other thought that's come to mind. Since Kamala, we know she's a snake in the grass. We know when she was Attorney General of California, she protected pedophiles, and she tried to block that protection by denying reporters access to freedom of information to her records. She permitted the murder on, just put it this way, Humboldt County. It may as well be in Mexico, in the province of Sinaloa, because that's how it's run. They're all corrupt, and she allowed that to happen. So knowing that her character is less than stellar, and knowing that she has distanced herself from Biden, do you think she's part of the plot
that led to what happened?
I kind of think she might be.
Right. Well, she came out, like I said, I'm pretty sure she said it. You know, I'm not taking responsibility for any of this S word, excrement. So, you know, that, if there's not, well, I mean, that's kind of like, what was it? Hillary Clinton, right? You know, you know, just laughing about the murder of Ambassador Stevens. Well, what difference does it make?
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
it's the same kind of stuff. It really is.
I hear you. It's so upsetting. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, John Wayne has a really good show, and I've been fortunate enough to be a guest on the show a couple of times. John, tell people about your show, what you do, and how they can find it.
Yes, absolutely. Every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at revolution.radio, freedomslips.com, the unequivocal truth, DEFCON 1. Folks, we're in defense condition 1, and if you don't think we are, you had better wake up.
You're not paying attention if you don't think we're there. We're living through nation-ending events.
Absolutely.
We're literally walking through the specter of possible genocide perpetrated out of the White House. I refer you to CDC documents with regard to relocation for COVID. I refer you to the UN supporting documents that say they'll withdraw care when they lack hospital resources and medical supplies. I could go on and on, but my gosh, John, they're all but telling us they're going to commit genocide against us. Minimum, they're going to take us out of our homes and isolate us. That's real clear from their documents.
Right. You know, I mean, and I don't, you know, genocide is one word, but I think another more polite, more accurate word would be politicide, you know, death by government.
You know, actually, the University of Hawaii has a study, and they refer to what you were talking about as democide, death by government. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting distinction you made there, because you're not the only one to have made it. By the way, they found in this study that's decades old that you're much more at risk from being killed by your government than you are in a war.
And COVID-19.
What was that again? You mean the virus that doesn't have a test that can detect it accurately?
Right. Yeah. They haven't.
By the way, I was at, just tell you this real quick. I was at a getting treated today, and I'm talking to nurses, and we're talking about the mandatory vaccine rules that's coming into play for them. And I said, oh, you mean the one that can't be detected by any test? And they all agreed with me. Just thought I'd tell you that as we close. Hey, John, thanks for joining us, my friend. I'll be in touch with you because I know we got a part two. And again, always great to have you on.
Thank you. Godspeed, Dave.
Take care.